in their hearts. And he's put
July 26th, Johannesburg, Show 90, Part 2.
So here we see that supreme Lord, who's the oldest of the old, who breathes out innumerable universes, and when he inhales, they all come in. Then he exhales, they all come out again, afresh. And see that he's a youthful teenager. So, in the beginning, when Prabhupada was engaging me in the paintings for his temples, he wrote on a little piece of paper, about like 3 inches by 1 inch, some prayer that I should put on the bottom of the painting. Because he always wanted to give knowledge in any way that he can. So the paintings also had to say something. So he had me write, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jagad Hitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Absolute Brahman, the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is the well-wisher of the cows and the Brahmins and all the people in general. This is another very early one. Usually she shows the technically expert ones, but today... So Prabhupada also gave me a picture of the Panchatattva, a small 8x10 picture, and he asked me to make a large painting of it. So this is, what's that thing under his chin?
Oh, there's a hole in the wall.
A hole in the wall. All right, okay. So, this is the Panchatattva, or five in one absolute truth. The Supreme Lord, His manifestation, His incarnation, His spiritual energy, and His pure devotee. And when I finally finished this painting, he had the devotees put it up on the wall of the very first ISKCON temple at 26 Second Avenue. How many of you are from ISKCON here? Have visited any ISKCON temples? Sort of half. And how many are brand new? And just came to the temple for the first time because you saw the flyer. Just one. Two. A few. Okay. So most of you are pretty experienced in Bhakti Yoga then. That's nice. So, the five in one absolute truth. And Prabhupada gave me always guidance in how to paint. Like he said, I should make the top knot on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he told me to write their names at their bottoms so that everybody could be educated who would come in the temple. And then, after the painting was finished and hung up on the wall, Prabhupada made an announcement that now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is here, because he wanted to show us right from the beginning that Krishna being absolute, just like he's non-different from his name, and when we chant his name sincerely, that supreme reservoir of innumerable universes, who creates millions of universes in 1 second, destroys them in the next second, and creates them in the next second. And we say, what do you mean in the next second? Look how long even one day is. That's from our standards. But for him, it's just the breath. So his name also has that power. And his form also has that power. So here we're very fortunate that the deities have come to this brand new, very beautiful Radha Govinda Mandir in Johannesburg to accept our service, to give us mercy, who we can pray to, and who can take us out of material existence. So Prabhupada said, now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is here. There should be no more nonsense in the temple. And this also is one of the very, very first paintings I did that Srila Prabhupada put on his walls of his 26 Second Avenue temple. And this is the last early one. Before the Krishna book came out, I think many of you have Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, of course, and we used to distribute them in the literal millions everywhere, all over the world. And before the book came out, and even before Srila Prabhupada began dictating the stories. The book came out by Prabhupada would dictate on a very ancient dictaphone machine, which had a foot pedal and everything. And then he would send it to his editors, who would type it, edit it, and then I would hear the tapes, and then pick out the pictures and paint. Later on, some more artists came, and we all, from Prabhupada's manuscript, painted different pictures, and then the book came out. But even before Prabhupada began dictating, he wrote me some letters, two letters, telling me five paintings in each letter to do, and what the description should be. So here, he wrote me that after Krishna appeared in his four-arm feature to Devaki and Vasudev, they prayed to him that we know that you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all the universes come from your abdomen, and at the same time it appears that you've come from my abdomen. Still, even though they knew he was God, they had some conception by his mercy that you're my son, and Kamsa is coming to kill you. So please do something so that we can protect you. So then Lord Narayan told them that I will turn into a baby and you carry me to Mother Yasoda's house and trade me with her newborn baby daughter. So here Krishna is lying in the lap of Devaki before her husband comes and takes him. Now, every five or six paintings or so, we're going to show you one of the deities of Srila Gurudev's mission around the world, because we don't yet have photographs of Radha Govinda. Very soon you'll be seeing photos of them and posters of them all over Johannesburg, but right now, because it's their first debut, so we'll show you different photographs of deities of Gurudev's mission around the world. Gurudev is Srila Prabhupada's spiritual successor. That is a few days before Srila Prabhupada left the world. He was in his departure bed at Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, and he had his GBC members go to Mathura and bring Srila Gurudev to his bedside. And when he did, he ordered Srila Gurudev, come and sit on my bed. Prabhupada was lying there performing that particular pastime. So we know that he has all eight mystic powers. The pure devotee never becomes an invalid. But if he looks like he does, it's just to give service and increase love to his followers. So Gurudev said, you're my Shiksha Guru. I worship you just like I worship my own Gurudev, who happens to be Prabhupada's Sannyas Guru, Srila Bhakti Pragyan Kesava Goswami Maharaj. So how can I sit on the bed? So Prabhupada ordered that they bring him a chair, and then when he was sitting on the chair, Prabhupada began to weep in transcendental ecstasy, and he took Srila Gurudev's hand and put it in his own hand and said, I've brought so many followers who are just like monkeys. He used the word banara, which is a Hindi and Bengali word that means monkeys. In other words, he took us from the dregs of LSD life, illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, you name it, we did it. All of his followers. So, therefore, considering where they came from, I've trained them as far as could be since from 1966 to 1977. They were coming gradually year by year. So now I'm ordering you, my Shiksha disciple, to continue their training. I want you to help my disciples, my GBC devotees, and all my followers. So Gurudev told him that just as Lord Ram told his father, Dasarath Maharaj, that I will carry out your order till my very last breath. So Gurudev told Prabhupada, so similarly, I will carry out your order until my very last breath. And since then, he's been helping all of Prabhupada's followers. So, he has temples all over the world. And these particular deities are at Sri Keshavji Gaudiya Math in Mathura, where our divine Srila Prabhupada took sannyas in 1959 from Srila Gurudev's Diksha Guru, Srila Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Goswami Maharaj, who was also Srila Gurudev's Diksha Guru, who was also Prabhupada's sannyas guru. And Gurudev performed the ceremony. That is, he made Prabhupada's danda and loincloth, and even though Prabhupada was his Shiksha Guru, he said, Prabhupada gave me so much mercy that I could teach him how to wear the sannyas garments. And he also performed the fire sacrifice. So there's a very intimate relationship. So every time I'm showing a picture of the deities, I'll explain one very beautiful history from the scriptures that shows that the deity is not stone, but he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So one particular history, I know you all know of Lord Jagannath. Everybody knows Lord Jagannath, right? Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. So, not too long before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent and his own performance of Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri, there was a prince named Purushottama Jana, and he was a great devotee of Lord Jagannath. And every year during the Rath Yatra time, he would take off his royal garb and an ordinary dress. He would, with a golden-handled broom, he would sweep the road and put perfume scents all over the road to make it a very beautiful road for Lord Jagannath's journey. So there was one king, the king of Vijayanagar, who had arranged that his daughter would marry Prince Purushottama Jana. But then he sent his spies to Jagannath Puri to watch the king, see what kind of a person, watch the prince to see what kind of a person he was. And it just so happened, by the will of Providence, that the spies came on the Rath Yatra day when the prince was sweeping the road. So the spies went back and told them, and then the king thought, what nonsense! How low! He's just become a menial sweeper. I'm not giving my daughter to him. So at the end of the festival, the prince asked his ministers, what happened to the whole marriage ceremony? The king was supposed to send his daughter with some relatives, and we never saw her. So they told him that actually they sent their spies and they saw you sweeping, and so they said, we're not going to give our daughter to a menial sweeper. So he became furious, not for his own false ego, but thinking that somebody could call the sweeper of Lord Jagannath just the menial sweeper, when it's actually divine service to the Supreme Lord of all the worlds, and one has to have supreme fortune to have that opportunity to sweep. Similarly, sweeping in this temple, or bringing fruit and putting it at the feet of the deities, is sublime, supreme service. Because Krishna is the root of all existence, the whole universe is served by doing a little menial service for the Lord. So, the king became furious. How dare they insult my Jagannath like that? I'm going to fight and defeat that king. So he took his army, and he went to defeat the king of Nagara, Vijayanagara. And what happened was, the king of Vijayanagara had a deity of Ganesh. And Ganesh actually appeared in person and fought against Prince Purushottama Jana and his party. So they lost. So he went back, very upset, went back into the temple, and he told Lord Jagannath, I was fighting on your behalf just to defend your honor, and you didn't even come and help me. I'm going to fast until death. So Lord Jagannath appeared in his dream and told him, but you never even asked me to come and help you. You just went on your own. If you would ask me, I would come. Go again, and this time I'm going to come and help you. So what happened was, Krishna and Balaram, because there's Jagannath, Balaram, Baladev, and Subhadra. So Jagannath and Balaram took the form of two young Kshatriyas, because actually Jagannath and Baladev and Subhadra are actually Krishna and Dwarka. And the whole Rath Yatra festival is the gopis bringing Krishna with their moods. By their moods, the gopis are bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan from Dwarka. So they took the form of two princes, and they got up on two horses, a red horse and a white horse. And they went ahead of the prince and his army. But they didn't know, Purushottamajana didn't know that he was, that he went ahead of him. So when Krishna and Balaram arrived in a certain place, they saw one old lady who was selling milk. And they said, we're so thirsty, please give us some of your milk. They said, sure, no problem, but so just pay up. They said, well, we're with the king. We're part of the army of the king. And so he'll pay you when he comes. So she was a businesswoman. She said, how will he believe me that you're his men? So they said, here, take these rings. One said, Baladev Singh, another one said something that sounded like Jagannath Singh. And show it to the king and he'll know that we came. So they drank all of her milk and happily paid her, and she was thrilled. And then when the prince's army came, she came up to them and says, okay, king, pay up. What for? Your two men were here. I gave them all my milk, my buttermilk. He said, I don't have any two men that went ahead of me. She said, yes, you did, and they did this. Well, what's the proof? Here's the proof, the two rings. And then as soon as he saw these rings, he thought, oh, these are the rings that my wife gave to the deities. And his heart melted. And he told this Gwalwala, or this milk lady, that I'm so grateful to you. I'm going to give you a large estate that's part of my kingdom. So to this day, the descendants of that lady have a big estate in Orissa. So then the king went forward, and Baladev and Jagannath personally fought, and they defeated Ganesh and everybody else. And the prince, he brought the deity of Ganesh. He took the royal throne, and they took the daughter, and they put the daughter in jail. And then the daughter was weeping, and the ministers of the prince, now king, his ministers went to the girl. Why are you weeping? She said, look at my plight. Now I have no one to marry. She said, they said, okay, let's do this plan. And they told her that when the next year's Rath Yatra comes and you see the king sweeping, because the king said she should go to jail and then I'll marry her to one of my sweepers. So the ministers told her, okay, so when the next Rath Yatra comes and the king is sweeping, then you come out and you say this, I want that sweeper. So she did that, and then they got married. And then his son was who? Maharaj Prataparudra, who actually swept the road when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally performing the Rath Yatra festival, and who Lord Chaitanya personally embraced, and who got to read Gopi Geet to the Lord in a secluded place, and who shed tears of ecstasy when he received the Lord's mercy and embrace. So this is one history of how the Lord is not stoned with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. Sorry? Oh yes, very interesting. And this Mahaprabhu here was actually donated to the temple to Sri Keshavji Gaudiya Math by Srila Prabhupada himself, because this was Prabhupada's deity when he was preaching in Jhansi, one city in India, and when he formulated the League of Devotees. By the will of Krishna, that temple wasn't successful externally, but of course, everybody who saw Prabhupada in the streets received his praying atoms. Even the bacteria all got advancement in Krishna consciousness. But in Prabhupada's Naravata Leela, or human-like pastimes, the temple wasn't successful. So Gurudev and Param Gurudev, who later became Prabhupada's sannyas guru, Srila Bhakti Bhagavan Kesava Goswami Maharaj, they brought Prabhupada to Mathura, and Prabhupada donated the deities there, and he's being worshipped in great opulence to the present day. And if you visit that temple, hopefully all of you will come for Kartik this year, from October 4th till November 4th, and come and visit this same Mathura temple. And this is also one of my very early paintings for Prabhupada's Krishna book, of Krishna dancing and this dance. Another early one.
Sorry.
But this has a nice story. This shows you how I started when I painted for Prabhupada in the beginning. And he had given me, he had this picture on his wall. He had an apartment just behind the courtyard, which was behind Srila Prabhupada's 22nd Avenue Temple in New York City, his very first ISKCON temple. And he had an apartment on the second floor. So he invited me up to the apartment, and he had one picture about that big on the wall of the Das Avatars, Krishna's 10 incarnations. And in the middle was this Lord Vishnu, about 2 inches. So he asked me to do a big painting of it. And he gave me a list of the 24 main Vishnu incarnations with the 24 different hand symbols. So sometimes this hand holds the conch shell, and this hand holds the club, and this hand holds the lotus, and this hand holds the disc, and sometimes that hand holds the disc, and that hand holds the lotus. So accordingly, the Lord has different pastimes and names. So he wrote that all on a piece of paper and told me to do the 24 Vishnu paintings, which he would distribute to his 24 different temples. At that time, he only had 2 temples, and he asked me to do that. So I was such a bad painter at the time. This was my 3rd painting that I did for him. I was such a bad painting that, as you can see, his hands looked like baseball gloves, the waves looked like question marks, and the club looks like an ice cream cone. And then when it was finally finished, I was painting it up in Prabhupada's quarters, because he invited me to paint there, which was his causeless mercy. So I painted there for months and got so much guidance from him. So when the painting was finished, all the devotees were in his quarters, and Prabhupada made an announcement. Now, who could look at this and say, that is not God? You know, just like a mother encouraging her 3-year-old kid who just, you know, did a cutout or something. So how did I think? I thought, well, you know, I don't know if I could ever do one this good again, but I'm sure going to try for this wonderful personality who loves me so much. Okay. And this is Gurudev's temple in Ananda Dham in Vrindavan, which is about 10 minutes from his Rup Sanatan Gaudiya Math in Vrindavan. So that means Vasanti wants me to tell another history of the scriptures. Srila Sanatana Goswami, one of the six Goswamis who are direct disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his deity's name is Madan Mohan. And he had his deity in his temple room. There was a grand temple because, as I mentioned this morning, his deity was complaining to him. As Prabhupada said, if you don't see this deity, the deity as a brass idol or a marble idol, but you think, oh, there is Radha, there is Krishna, I must serve them. Oh, I brought this thing for you, I'm so rotten and fallen, but I brought this for you, please accept it. Then Krishna will accept your offering and he'll speak to you. So the deity Madan Mohan, used to speak all the time to Sanatana Goswami. And he would complain that, oh, you're giving me this dry chapati without any salt or butter, you're giving me a sore throat. And Sanatana Goswami said, it's all I have, you have to accept it because I'm poor. So Madan Mohan had to accept it. So then one day, a very rich trader came in his big barge doing some trading business. Arjun Krishnapuru? Do you have that business? Mm-hmm. Do you have that business? What is he? I thought he had a importing, exporting, shipping?
No, he was.
But what about Arjun Krishna? What?
I just import.
Okay, it's importing though. So you brought the importing. So he was, He was a trader. He was trading goods and shipping. So his big barge got stuck right near Sanatana Goswami's bhajan kutir. And it couldn't move. It was, got stuck in the river. So the man came and asked Sanatana Goswami for help. So Sanatana Goswami, the deity of Madan Mohan, helped. He told Sanatana Goswami that if you get me out of this situation, and if I make some money, I'll build you a big temple. So then Madan Mohan, he was inspired to say that by Madan Mohan, the deity, who spoke in his heart. And then the deity personally pulled his barge out of being stuck. So he made a lot of money, and he built this big, big temple in Vrindavan, which was the Madan Mohan temple. So Sanatana Goswami gave his deity the temple, and one day he went to a lady's house, and this lady was called a Chowi. She was Chobi. She was in the Chobi dynasty, which means like a poor woman, not cultured. So she had two children with her, and Sanatana Goswami was coming begging alms. She had two children. One was her own son and one was her son's friend. And she was in the middle of cooking some porridge to offer to the deities. But her children were like pulling at her skirts. You know how kids get, can't wait for the offering, mom, sorry, feed me right now. So she was stirring the pot of porridge and then using the same stick to brush her teeth and then giving it to the kids. And Sanatana Goswami told her that, you know, this is not very good Vaishnava etiquette, not very good sadhachar and deity worship. You should first be clean, then serve the deity, then serve the children. So then he saw that the children were playing, and Madan Mohan and her son were playing, and the son was chasing the other boy, and the other boy ran into her temple room. and then disappeared because he had merged into the deity, because he was the deity. So then Sanatana Goswami saw that and he was amazed. So then he came back to the lady and he said, forget whatever I said. Do things the way you do it. That's another beautiful history. And that history is in Srila Gurudev's Braj Mandala Parikrama book. So, as the years went on, now we come to about 1972, and Srila Prabhupada had us paint for his Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is one of the pictures for his Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma's creation. Krishna is the original creator and Brahma is the secondary creator. So, it's explained in the Bhagavatam that before Brahma created this, that, and the other thing, he covered the entire universe with five kinds of ignorance. One is self-deception, one is fear of death, one is anger after frustration, one is greed, and one is false ego. So I had to paint all those five. So I wrote to Prabhupada and I said, what do you mean by self-deception? How can I paint that? It's just an abstract concept. So Prabhupada wrote back. I got so many letters from Prabhupada answering types of questions like this. Like Ramananda Roy is such and such years old, he has a mustache, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya looks like this. So Prabhupada said, self-deception means just like my disciples. I tell them to follow certain regular principles, but they don't follow. And that's why it's self-deception. They do what I tell them is bad for them, they still do it. Knowing that I told them it's bad for them, somehow they're controlled by some force and they do it anyway. So we did a person who's smoking and coughing at the same time. So that's the creation for Prabhupada's third canto. Then, for Prabhupada's teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which is the summary study of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Prabhupada said in the introduction of the book that because this is the summary study of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's the summary study of Krishna's flute playing. Because Chaitanya Charitamrita is ultimately the embodiment of the theology and pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Radha and Radha Krishna in the covered by the complexion and mood of Srimati Radhika. And ultimately, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inner pastimes, he has outer pastimes of Nagar Sankirtan in various places, and performing pastimes of observing Vyas Puja or 21 day ceremony where he's showing that he's Vishnu and showing that he's the universal form. So many pastimes in Navadvipa. So his internal pastimes are the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, but not seen from the point of view of Krishna, but seen through the point of view of Srimati Radhika. Because Krishna was able to do everything and know everything since he's God, but he couldn't figure out three things. What is the nature of Radharani's love that drives me mad, even though if the universe were got one atom of my transcendental ecstatic madness, they would drown. But I myself have become bewildered and mad, being controlled by the love of Srimati Radhika. So what is the nature of her love that drives me mad? And what is it in me that she alone relishes that I can't even taste in myself? And what is the extent of her happiness, which is 10,000 times greater than my happiness? So although everything is within God, and God is himself the embodiment of knowledge, These three things he could not fulfill. So he had to become Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna covered by Radharani's mood, in order to understand her mood and taste her mood. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inner life is the same Radha and Krishna's pastimes, but seen through the point of view of, would any of the devotees be at the door, so if any of the guests have to leave, you can get their email address for Hari Pataya or phone number or whatever. Can anybody volunteer to do that? I can't see if anybody's volunteering. At least thank you. Because I'm just saying black silhouettes against the light. So here is Lord Brahma. This is for the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Brahma, he came to the Krishna's palace in Dwarka, and Krishna told his doorman to ask, which Brahma are you? So Brahma said, which Brahma? Is there another Brahma? All right, tell him I'm four-headed Brahma, the father of the four Kumaras. So then when Brahma came to see Krishna, he said, before I tell you what business I came for, please tell me, why did you ask which Brahma am I? Are there other Brahmas? So Krishna said yes, and he called for millions of other Brahmas who are the controllers of millions of other universes. And some of them had 50 heads, 20 heads, 100 heads. So I wrote to Prabhupada and asked, how do I make all these heads? So Prabhupada just wrote back, do whatever's palatable. Okay. And this one is Markandeya Rishi. Markandeya Rishi is a great sage who was so powerful that he was able to live for 7 kalpas, 7 days of Brahma without dying. So Indra became envious, so he sent Cupid personified, plus personified lust and anger, to distract him from his chanting and meditation. So you see the heavenly damsels and singers and dancers have come to distract him, but he wasn't at all distracted. That shows that when someone is actually getting Krishna's protection, nothing at all can hurt him. Just like Prahlad Maharaj. The demons threw him off a cliff, but Krishna held him.
I want to get to Greece.
Okay.
Time's really
short. All right. And this one, as I mentioned, I received many letters from Prabhupada. So there's one history in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where Kardama Muni's wife, Devahuti, went under a sacred lake, and Kardama Muni arranged that she would have 1,000 maidservants who would dress and decorate her and ornament her. So I wrote to Prabhupada and said, so how was this done? Was there an airtight house underneath the lake? And he wrote back that just as one can learn the art of living in a house of air, so one can learn the mystic art, the yoga of living in a house of water. So actually she did this by her mystic powers. And all mystic powers, becoming smaller than an atom, heavier than a universe, reaching out to another planet, getting anything I want, bringing anyone under control, these are all infinitesimal powers of the pure devotee. So Srila Gurudev was coming to Johannesburg in the middle of January, and to Durban and Peter Manisburg at the beginning of January. He's one such pure devotee like that, who has all these powers, and powers to grace us all with the love of God and take away all miseries, the endless cycle of birth and death. So you're very fortunate that he's coming to your own home. And this is Krishna appearing to Vasudeva and Devaki. You saw the old one that I did in the beginning, but by Prabhupada's mercy, now you can see the painting has progressed so much. Somebody once asked Prabhupada, how do I paint like Jadarani? And Prabhupada said, I have taught her how to paint. And then he pretended to paint in the air and said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. This is our deities in Govardhan. You must all come during Kartik time, even if you have no money. If you're determined to come and pray to, don't pray to Krishna because he's too young and busy playing with the cows, but pray to Govardhan, he's very powerful. So if you're so determined that by hook or by crook I'm going to get to be with Gurudev for a month and parikrama, breathing the same air that Krishna breathes, drinking the same water that Krishna drinks from Jamuna, bathing in the same river, so then you must come from August 4th, November
4th.
October, thank you. 4th of November 4th. So these are our deities in Govardhan. And one more history. Shakshi Gopal. Shakshi Gopal is one of the deities, actually, that King Purushottama, Jana, brought back to Puri from Vijayanagara. And Shakshi Gopal means witness Gopal. So there was one young Brahmin, and he was, by his kindness, taking an old Brahmana around Vrindavan and showing him all the holy places. So when they happened to be in front of the Gopal deity, the old Brahmin was so grateful that he said, I'm going to give my daughter in marriage to you. So the Brahmin wasn't attached to the daughter, but he said, how can you give me your daughter? Because you're very rich and I'm very poor, and none of your relatives will allow it. So he said, I'm the leader of my house. If I say it happens, it happens. So what happened was, when he went home and he told his family, they all congregated against him, and the wife threatened to take poison, and the son-in-law was an atheist. The son was an atheist, and he said, look, when he comes to pick up my sister, just tell him, you know, I'm an old man. I wasn't in my right mind. I didn't know what I was saying. But I don't remember saying it. And if you insist I said it, I didn't know what I said. And then if he insists, then tell him, all right, if you made that vow in front of the deity, then bring your deity here and let your deity stand witness. So that's exactly what happened. He went, and the Brahmana said that, and the son challenged that, bring your deity here. Let him show that he was the witness to this promise. So he went back to the temple, and he told the deity what happened. And the deity said, how can I go with you? I can't go with you. I'm just a deity. So he said, if you can talk, you can walk. So the deity said, okay, I'll go with you, but as soon as you look behind to see if I'm there, I'm going to stop and I won't go any further. Okay, well, how will I know you're there? Because you'll be hearing my tinkling ankle bell. Mm-hmm. So they walked and walked and walked, and at one point the ankle bell stopped. And he couldn't help but look to see why. So sure enough, the deity was there, but he wouldn't go any further. So the young Brahmin went to the house of the old Brahmin and said, my deity came, come and see. And they all went and they all surrendered. What? Okay. And just very quickly, these are some paintings I did for Srila Prabhupada's 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Prabhupada saw this, he said, you have captured my mood. Mm-hmm. Why did he say you have captured my mood? Because this is Prabhupada's service in the local Vrindavan. Now we'll show some of the paintings of that we did under Gurudev's guidance. Can we have the lights for a moment? Can you go back to what your gopis running?
Oh, maybe. Top one.
Okay. We're going to take a commercial break right now. You all see this picture of the gopis running to Krishna. When Krishna played his flute, he was very inspired. You see that the sky is red? So Krishna, being Rasik Shekhar, the supreme connoisseur of amorous sports, he sees everything in his top, in God's topmost feature. He sees everything in relation to his amorous love. Just like wherever somebody's at, he sees everything in relation to that. So when he saw the moon on the first night of autumn, he thought, well, the moon is my ancestor, because I was born on the eighth day of the waning moon. That's why it's Krishna Janma Astami, the eighth day of the moon. So, or maybe it was the waxing moon, I forget. So, this moon, his wife is a certain direction, but he has a paramour called the eastern direction. And he comes and sees, sneaks off and sees his paramour, and he puts red unguent. He decorates her with a red unguent. So that's how the sky became red on this moonlit night. So Krishna thought, well, he's my ancestor, so I get my inspiration from him. So I'll also play my flute and call all my beloved gopis to dance with me. So you find this painting as one of the pullouts in this very most beautiful book of Srila Gurudev's that just came out, called Gopi Geet, which is Srila Prabhupada's 1991-1992 lectures. What did I say? Yeah, I always get them mixed up because Guru is one reminds me of the other. So Gurudev was giving lectures to Srila Prabhupada's sannyasis and GBCs in 1991 and 2 in Mathura and Vrindavan, and they asked him to teach them the Gopi Geet. So a lot of our paintings are in the book, and it's so beautiful. First of all, Gurudev's lectures are so beautiful. Even though this is the Gopi song of separation, and there's nobody higher than the Gopis in Krishna consciousness, when we were in the middle of editing the book and wanted to know how to edit it, one of the editors thought, well, this is just for the most advanced devotees. So I asked Gurudev, and he said, no, it's for the masses, just like Prabhupada's Krishna book. So every verse, there are 20 verses, every verse has a pull-out quote with a line drawing that matches the verse, and it also has a painting as a strip that matches the verse. And there are several full-length whole pictures in there as well. And also, there's another pull-out in the back. And there's a lot of very deep philosophy in the midst of... Where's that picture? Oh, here it is. There's another very beautiful pull-out. And if any of you are rich, in support of our Navadvip temple, we're also selling giant G-clays. G-clays are the topmost possible art print, and it's not like you print 1,000 like the posters, but it's like one or two. So there's only two in South Africa and only five in the world. So we have that in here if anybody would like to take a look at that. So this is the very beautiful painting done by Manjari, Gurudev's disciple. I helped with it, of course, but the real inspiration came from Gurudev. And the best part about the book, although there's so many excellent parts, it's woven with deep philosophy, philosophical thoughts, and very, very deep moods to teach us what moods we ultimately want to come to perfect our life, to make us single-pointed. Just like in the beginning we learn, like, I am General Krishna Das. Not General Krishna Das, but I am just plain, generic Krishna Das. Then later on, as I'm cultivating Krishna consciousness, I have to know which kind of Krishna Das I am, so that I can concentrate on that. So generally for those in the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, particularly in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami, all of our acharyas are in the moods of maidservants of Srimati Radhika. So Gurudev is giving general Krishna consciousness, scientific Krishna consciousness, and the highest moods of Krishna consciousness, where you start getting more single-pointed. And Gopiki takes us from A to Z, to the general, to the very most single-pointed. So the best part about it, one of the best parts about it, is that in the back of the book, there is a very special CD of Gurudev himself singing the Gopi Geet with Indian instrumentation on the background. And when I asked Gurudev to sing it for the book, so he sang it just for the book, he said, there are so many better singers than my disciples. Are they wanting to come in, or is somebody going to invite them in? Oh yeah, Dharani is already getting one. So he said, there's so many better singers than me. So I said, yes, Gurudev, but it has to be sung by a gopi because it's Gopi Geet. So then he sang it. So it's very, very beautiful. Plus, there are two lectures where he's giving the tattva of Radhika, the glory of Radhika and the glories of the gopis, how they're the topmost Krishna conscious acharyas and the topmost bhajaniyas, the topmost kirtaniyas. And one of his lectures is like a summary of Gopi Geet, right? And welcome to the new guests. And that one of those lectures is also has Indian instrumentation on the back, so it's a very mood-filled lecture. Okay, so how many do we have?
Seven.
We only have seven. How much is it?
150
rand. Okay, so you could see who? Vasanti at the end. All right, so now back to our program. So here's Srila Gurudev, who Srila Prabhupada requested to continue his mission. And now he's traveling around the world for three reasons, which he gave when he first started traveling. One is to go to all the holy places that were made holy by Srila Prabhupada's servants. Two, to water. He said, Prabhupada gave me the water of Harikatha to pour on all the wilted sprouts and dried up growing flowers of all of his disciples and followers. And to make those flowers blossom by the water of my Harikatha, and so that they become offerable, so I can offer them to Radha and Krishna. That was the second reason. And the third reason is to continue Prabhupada's mission. Okay. So, just as Srila Prabhupada guided the art at the beginning of the mission, so Gurudev is his spiritual successor in so many ways, and he's continuing to guide us in the art. As you can see, this is, we'll show you the
light.
Oh, yeah, thanks. You'll see this picture, and it's completed, but this is a painting called Chamatkar Chandrika, which you'll be getting, amongst many other books, in October. And Gurudev is giving precise details here. He's saying that Krishna's arms, I didn't make them look right, he said his arms should look like the trunks of elephants, very tapering. That's what he was saying right there. This is in Govardhan, actually. Yes, his quarters in Govardhan.
Can you skip the beauty pictures? I'm going to skip the Bhagavad Gita pictures.
Okay. Just very quickly, this is Srila Dwaipaya Veda Vyas, Krishna's literary incarnation, speaking to his disciple Sanjay and giving him, what's this yellow light? The yellow light is Divya Drishti, or transcendental vision and transcendental knowledge, so that Sanjay will be able to see everything past, present, and future. And that way he was able to speak the Bhagavad Gita to the blind king, although Krishna and Arjuna were 90 miles away. He was able to see it in the television of his heart. So Srila Prabhupada said that anyone who becomes a faithful, surrendered follower of the bona fide self-realized guru, the guru gives this divya drishti so that we can see everything, past, present, and future. Okay. And here you see Sanjaya speaking to the blind king Dhritarashtra what's happening 90 miles away on the battlefield. And all this was Gurudev's guidance. I told Gurudev once, Gurudev, I feel like I'm painting in the dark because I never know what the next stroke should be. Because I'm a fallen conditioned soul, how can I know? Is somebody at the back getting emails? Okay, great. How can I, a conditioned soul, know how to paint the spiritual world? Like every time I do a stroke, I sit back and think, okay, who's going to do the next stroke? And nobody comes forward because I'm the only one in the room. So I'll make the next stroke, but I don't know where to make it. So I told Gurudev, I feel like I'm painting in the dark. So Gurudev said, no, you're painting by my light. So all of it's going on under Gurudev's guidance. So here's Krishna teaching Arjuna. And just incidentally, Gurudev posed for the horses, he posed for Krishna, he posed for Hanuman on the flag. And here Krishna's teaching, Arjuna, never was there a time that I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future will any of us cease to be. Just as there's change of winter and summer seasons, and everyone tolerates that, so happiness and distress in this world come like the transition of winter and summer seasons. One should learn how to tolerate these happiness and distress without being disturbed. So many instructions Krishna gave Arjuna. And this is Srila Viswanath Chakrabarti Thakur, who wrote the commentaries to the Gita that Gurudev translated, which is the sequel to Prabhupada's Gita.
I have a few.
You have what?
A few.
We also have Bhagavad Gitas of Srila Prabhupada if anybody would like to get one.
And like seven, maybe five or six posters.
And we also have about five or six posters, which we'll show you towards the end. So this is my very first painting for Gurudev. This is called Seva Kunj. So of all the features of God, there's Mahavishnu breathing in and out innumerable universes with his inhaling and exhaling breath. But of all the features of God, even all the features of God in Vrindavan, the highest and most complete feature of God is Krishna as the servant of Srimati Radhika. So here he's falling at Radhika's feet and praying to her that what more can I give you? I've surrendered my flute, which is my prized possession, at your lotus feet. Please be merciful and put your lotus feet on my head and relieve me of the fire of separation that I'm feeling for you. So our whole Guru Parampara, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the six Goswamis, they all have the same ultimate teaching that the goal of life for all fortunate living entities is to become a servant of that very Radharani who is the guru of God himself and who brings Krishna under her control. The first time, one of the first couple of times that I met Gurudev in 1992, he told me, you're searching for Krishna, but you don't know that if you become a maid servant of Radharani, Krishna will pursue you. And this is Venugita. In this particular picture, we see how the gopis are the best performers of bhajan. And they're the acharyas to teach us how to do bhajan. Because when Krishna is in the forest like this, they are in their own homes. And they're lamenting that all the other forest residents, like the Jamuna River, the deer, the cows, the birds, they're so fortunate they get to be with Krishna all day, and we're stuck at home. So they were so absorbed in their singing of Venu Geet, their songs of separation, that they actually merged into their mantra, and they ended up where they were singing about. They ended up, because these bhajans, these songs, these kirtans, are not different from Krishna himself. The Hare Krishna mantra is not different from Radha and Krishna and all their pastimes. When you get initiated into the Hare Krishna mantra by Gurudev, he tells you that just as Krishna can create and destroy innumerable universes in a second, this Hare Krishna mantra has that very same power. All the beauty, all the mercy, and all the power of Krishna himself, God himself, is in this Hare Krishna mantra. So the gopis realized the power of mantra. They were so fully absorbed in the mantras, which were of their own writing, their own speaking, their own thoughts, that they merged into the mantra and then ended up in the forest where they were singing about, and then they got to meet Krishna. So they're teaching us to be absorbed in bhajan, forget about everything else while you're doing bhajan, and then everything else is automatically taken care of. Is that the end? Okay, I'll ask for questions or comments. We have the lights? Because I'm sorry, I went way over. And Vasanti will show you the posters as I'm asking for questions. I could tell you're a very deep audience, a very spiritual, transcendental audience. So it's a pleasure to relate with you. Any questions or comments? Yes, ma'am. You're asking if we have this on a disc so that you could also show the slideshow. Or just look at it on your own computer. We're almost finished with that. It's a very professional presentation where you click on a button and it goes forward or back. So hopefully by Kartik that will be ready. Because I get tired of talking, so that way you could all do it yourself. You could go to schools and do it yourself too. Or right at home. Or the kids could do it. Oh, yes. So you're asking if I'm still painting and how do I feel when I'm painting. So yes, I'm still painting. I'm in the middle of three sketches that by Gurudev's desire will hopefully be turned into three paintings. And I try to listen to sound files of Gurudev's lectures or Prabhupada's lectures or kirtans while I'm painting. So that automatically and very easily helps to think of the deep meanings of the painting. Or I'm thinking of the story that I'm painting and how to get that mood, colors with the directional forces that the lights and darks are going. And praying, because when I was painting the mantras, the four gopis that are on the sides of Seva Kunj, I asked for a how can I pray so that these mandris will actually manifest through my hands? So he told me different prayers that I could say for that. You showed them already? Pardon, India.
Yeah.
Manani Radha, which you didn't see, but this is like Seva Kunj. And the same type of pastime. And Seva Kunj we have.
Yeah.
And one prince. Yeah, there's one prince on put, where, as we mentioned, finally Krishna had to take the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to fully understand Radharani. But otherwise, Krishna goes through all lengths to understand her. So there in Prem Samput, he took the disguise of a demigoddess just to hear about her love. This is Prem Samput.
And
one more time.
On
any other questions or comments? I've already gone way over time. Yes. Loud?
When you are painting, do you paint in oil or water?
I paint in water-based oils.
Water-based.
So they're more healthy.
Yeah.